There are moments when some of us wonder if the human race has the smarts and the desire to survive. Today's guest sees enormous potential in our species and even sees dark moments like war as a signal that we are ready to begin the turn to a brighter future. Barbara Marx Hubbard is the author of Conscious Evolution, Awakening the Power of Our Social Potential. Barbara Marx Hubbard is a futurist, lecturer, social innovator, mother and grandmother, and the author of 8 books, including Conscious Evolution, first published in 1998 and revised this year. She's also the president of the Foundation for Conscious Evolution. She lives in Santa Barbara. Barbara Marx Hubbard, thanks so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
So let's go back to the beginning. Talk about the process of becoming a futurist and how one goes about that and how you did.
Well, it started with me when the United States dropped the bombs on Japan. I was 15 years old, 1945, and a huge question arose in my mind. I could see the destructive power that could destroy our world, but then the question arose, is there a positive purpose for all this new power? Science, technology, industry, the military. And so I started to ask people the question, what do you think is the meaning of humanity's new power that's good? Yes, it can destroy the world, but can it evolve the world? And what I found is that nobody knew. The church didn't know. The universities didn't even look at the question of the direction of human civilization. I got to meet President Eisenhower. I asked him, what do you think is the meaning of all this power? 1953. And he said to me, I have no idea. So I started on a real deep life search that it was like a profound drive inside me until I began to discover the evolutionary story and the fact that nature has hit crisis after crisis after crisis, and every time it jumps to a higher consciousness, a greater freedom, a more complex order. So I began to see a pattern in evolution, and I became more than a futurist. I became an evolutionary. The futurists don't necessarily see this. I believe I saw the pattern of evolution and placed ourselves in it, and I called it conscious evolution. We are becoming conscious of evolution. We know we're affecting it negatively, but could we also be affecting it positively? And the answer is, of course we can. We already have innovations, solutions, creative potentials in every field, but they're not news. They're not seen. So that became my life purpose.
That's interesting to think about then when you put it in the context of other things that happen through evolutionary history where there are major turning points, you know, animals that have to adapt, for example, because their climate suddenly turned much colder or much hotter. I don't mean to make this quite too fine a point for today's world, but the point being that when climates change, animals have to adapt. In the same sense that we are creating some situations for which we need to find ways to adapt, because otherwise we could potentially, with atomic weapons, kill ourselves.
Exactly. And in evolution, crises causes transformation or devolution and death. The difference is we know it. The species that went through this before us, and there have been 5 mass extinctions, didn't know it. So they got wiped out. But nature itself kept on seeking, it seems to me, more conscious life. There's a direction in evolution. And if you look at the long-range past, you'll see crisis after crisis leading to higher order. So the difference is we know we're creating, at least in part, this crisis. And therefore, we really are being told, only you can do something about this.
Is the revision of the book Conscious Evolution a sign that we have gone some way down the path of conscious evolution?
Yes, because otherwise we wouldn't see. It only started in 1960s when the scientists discovered cosmogenesis. They discovered that the universe has been and is now evolving. That's new. See, that before that, scientists did not know that. They thought it was a static or an eternal universe, and certainly that's what the religion thought. Suddenly, this new information came in with the background radiation of the first big bang, and then this changed everything because we're in an evolving universe. So the reason it's not in religion, science, politics, or the traditional disciplines is they haven't incorporated the new story yet. However, I saw it because I was seeking the meaning of our power. And so the meaning of our power, if you want to just jump, is, I think, the ability to connect that which is already innovative, creative, and working, and placing that in this large-scale internet nervous system that we've grown in the last 10, 15 years as a planet with Facebook and Twitter and cell phones and Google, we're almost at the stage of having a new intelligence system that knows how to make things work. And it's a big question as to whether or not we'll do it, but you have to see it's possible in order to move in that direction.
Much more to talk about. The book is called Conscious Evolution, Awakening the Power of Our Social Potential, first written in 1998 and updated for 2015 by Barbara Marks Hubbard, our guest on The Exchange. You can join us when we return to the program. Let me remind you as we go to the break, it is also Spring Fund Drive 2015. We really would like to have your pledge of support to be able to continue programs like the Jefferson Exchange here on all the services of Jefferson Public Radio. Give us a call with that pledge at 888-552-6191 or pledge online at ijpr.org. And thanks for listening and thanks for supporting Jefferson Public Radio. Back on the Jefferson Exchange on the News and Information Service of Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. Our guest today is Barbara Marks Hubbard, the futurist and author and mother and grandmother, and she carries a lot of titles with her. Her book is called Conscious Evolution, Awakening the Power of Our Social Potential. The book was first written in 1998 and revised for a 2015 edition in my hands and on bookshelves now. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760 around the region, 800-838-3760 to take part in the conversation, or send your emails to jx@jeffnet.org. I'm sure there are probably still a few people blinking and scratching and wondering just exactly how conscious evolution is. So, Barbara, can we kind of get to a definition here and then whether it is something that we do deliberately or if we're just aware that it's happening?
I think it's both. I think we've learned from Carl Sagan and many, many scientific stories that the universe is evolving. I don't think we've placed that into our politics or our social action. But what it means is that it's evolution by choice, not chance. So we have choice, let's say, with what energy systems we use. We have choice to move very rapidly into the direction of clean energy or not. We have the choice as to how many babies we have. We have the choice to what kind of food we eat. And we're now learning that everything we do is affecting our own health, affecting our own future, and possibly the future of life on Earth. That's news now. What isn't news is that this is possibly good news for innovators, creators, and people who have a vision of a better world. Those are the people who are rising now. And social potential, if you remember, human potential movement was mapped by Abraham Maslow. He called it the self-actualizing person. This was a person who had self-rewarding work and who was beneficent and joyful and happy in the work. All right, so the self-actualizing society are peaks of human performance on the social scale that are now working connected. And you actually begin to see a picture of an emerging culture. So I think if we really are serious about wanting to survive, we're going to have an increasing effort to connect that which is working.
Okay, so it's not so much about us sprouting new limbs or anything like that in terms of evolution on a physical scale, but it is about us evolving as a creature in a way that no other creature ever has to take control of our destiny by working with the environment around us.
Well, yes, and also if you put in the high technology capabilities like artificial intelligence, nanotechnology, biotechnology, quantum computing, space travel, actually, you're seeing the outlines of an emerging species. Because if you put a more conscious human in the midst of technologies that are radically empowering or radically destructive, we have to guide those technologies with a sense of direction. And ultimately, I think Mother Earth, if you want to be poetic, is giving birth to a co-evolving species. and we are capable of restoring this earth, freeing ourselves from the basic need functions, and start exploring the greater reaches of human potential and the universe. The universe is filled with billions of planets, so we can't even be geocentric anymore. And so one of the questions is, what is the Earth's role in the universe? You know, in billions of years, the sun will expand and destroy all planets in the solar system. So in some sense, we're giving birth both to a more universal human on this Earth and eventually in the universe. And that's not mystical. That's real.
But when you think about some of the conscious choices that have to be made, and then you think about, for example, the current context with how poorly we seem to be getting along from faction to faction across the world at the moment, not just in American politics, you wonder if we have the capacity, certainly at this moment in history, to be able to make clear decisions as a race.
I think it's very true what you're saying. It's a real question, and one of the things we need is a vision that is possible. If we have a vision that is not possible, you see, one interesting thing about evolution is it produces newness. Like if you looked at the most intelligent animal, could you imagine the most intelligent human? Very hard to do that. But there's no way to think that the evolutionary process stops here with you and me in our current condition, because it's been going on for billions of years, hitting crisis and going to higher order. The only difference is we have a chance to participate consciously. And ultimately, I think that evolutionary consciousness will be the next step after self-conscious humans. You know, self-conscious humans were self-reflective. They knew we had a self. That's 50,000 years of genius leading to the power to overgrow and destroy the earth or evolve humanity. And which way we go depends on the vision that we see of what's possible. That's why I'm giving my life, and have been for all these years, to telling the story of what's emerging so that we get it. We can do almost anything when we understand it. You know that.
Barbara Marks Hubbard is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the author of Conscious Evolution, Awakening the Power of Our Social Potential, revised in a 2015 edition. So were you an optimist before you were a futurist?
I think I was innately hopeful. And here's a word about optimism, just to note, evolution optimizes. It started with no thing at all. And then comes energy, matter, life. Out of nothing has come optimizing at every crisis. It optimizes to higher order along with billions of species extinct. So nature is constantly selecting for that which has more conscious life and conscious capacity.
One of the forewords in the book is from Neil Donald Walsh, who's a longtime resident of the Rogue Valley and the author of Conversations with God. And he says he believes the human race is beginning to lose patience with itself. That does not apparently square with your own thinking.
Well, I think we are losing patience with our bad behavior. Mm-hmm. I actually am losing patience with that. And I realize, and here's another thing, it's hard to see, but we're very young as a species. Whales are millions of years old. Homo sapiens sapiens of 50,000 years. We are young. We are immature, and we've never been a global species before. We've never faced high-tech, overpopulation, pollution crises before. So I'm a mother of five and a grandmother of eight, so I'm having also a little feminine compassion. This is a young species, believe it or not.
So, well, it's interesting because we are, well, I was going to ask you about that too, come to think of it. I did have a question about whether you think we're in our infancy or our adolescence or somewhere maybe further down that line.
Mm-hmm. I think that from the point of view of a global culture, we are very, very young, and that individuals like you and me could be considered entering our adolescence. But as a species as a whole, facing absolutely new crises of possible extinction or possible self-evolution, we are very young.
But it sounds like we certainly do get both the good and the bad at the same time. We get the means for our destruction, witness the atom bomb.
Right.
But we also get the means to our survival, potentially.
That's right. And the reason conscious evolution and books like that, all of the works that are in that direction, are essential for humanity to make a better choice. And because the news selects usually for what's breaking down rather than what's breaking through, the average person doesn't have a clue that we're living in an emerging world. See, I go around in the futurist movement and in the evolutionary movement, and people are having breakthroughs and identifying things that are working in the health field, in the energy field, in the self-governing field, in the conscious capitalism. I've just been talking to John Mackey. I've been talking to John Gray at Beyond Mars and Venus. Women are maturing. Men are maturing. I'm part of the Shift Network, where we have thousands and thousands of people studying how to evolve. You see, but the average newscaster, like, unfortunately, you're different. The average newscaster doesn't know about this.
What are they lacking then? I mean, is it just the means to know things, or just because?
No,
the...
I think it's not on the agenda and the horizon of the accepted reality that the human race is facing. Well, we now know we're facing a possible self-destruction. I think that's finally out in the last maybe 10 years. And recently, with the global warming, some people think we're not going to make it at all. Now, that's new. What's now going to be coming out, if we are successful, is what is possible, what is working, where are we going that we want to go, and what do people want to do about it. And this is also personal. Every human being is a unique self, is somebody with a unique aspect of creativity. When you start doing that which is creative, you start growing and you get to be a more mature human.
Barbara Marks Hubbard again, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Her book is Conscious Evolution, Awakening the Power of Our Social Potential, first written in 1998 and revised for this year. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760 anywhere in the listening area. 800-838-3760. Our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. So back to the idea, though, of news not really covering the breakthroughs, the breakouts, I guess, more like the breakdowns.
Right.
I'm struck by the old phrase about what is news and what is not. You know, it's not news if dog bites man. It is news if man bites dog. What I think I hear you saying is you reject the premise. You'd rather hear man has good day playing with dog, or man invents a way to keep dog alive longer or something.
Well, it's even more than that. Man has a way of creating new energy that could actually evolve the world and get over global warming. Man has that. And it's happening. But man is not noticing what's happening. And there is a certain kind of natural tendency to notice what hurts more than something new. So it calls for people like myself and all the thousands of others that I work with to be sharing about it, to be communicating about it, to be writing about it, to doing movies about it. We need to be in the communication system. And thank you for doing this interview.
How much, Barbara, do you have to deal with the negative connotations some people of faith certainly place upon the very term evolution?
Yes, I understand that. It's because evolution, I think, in some of its interpretations by purely materialistic scientists that think of the whole thing as more or less accident and physical processes leading up to consciousness as an epiphenomenon of matter in the brain, I don't agree with that either. I think that there is a huge, powerful impulse of creation, a spiritual force, a spirit in action, a designing intelligence moving throughout the whole of the evolution. If I didn't believe that, I don't think I could have the same faith that I have. So there's a very deep spirituality coming out of it, but it's not a religion. It's actually noticing that nature has intelligence that is supreme, but it isn't like an external God guiding it, as maybe a more fundamentalist would think. It's an internal consciousness field, a living universe. There's a big controversy as to whether it's a dead universe or a living universe. I'm along the lines of saying it's a conscious universe, and there's a consciousness force that is activating all of the tendencies toward higher consciousness. In old religious language, you could say there's a God intention in here, but it's not the external God. It's an internal process of creation. Now, that's also a statement of faith, But why I believe it is if you look at the evidence from nothing at all to everything that is in 13.8 billion years, you have to explain that. I think you explain it better by saying it's an intelligent process than that it's an accident.
All right, so this begins to sound like intelligent design, but I don't think that's what you're saying. You're not saying a sort of a central brain kind of thing, but some sort of intelligence innate within the operation of the system.
That's correct. And there's a big controversy now going on. Is it a living universe? Is the whole system consciousness out of which the various big bangs come to create a universe, but that the universe is not coming out of nothing. It's coming out of consciousness, which is a lot more, but all of it's a mystery. It's not provable either way, but it makes a lot more sense to me that the universe itself is a conscious field out of which these large big bangs occur, and maybe many universes, not out of nothing and out of accidents, but out of intelligence. It's an intelligent living universe. That's a faith statement. But so is it that there's nothing but dead matter. That's also a faith statement. Nobody can prove it either.
Interesting. Okay, let's take another call. We have Jamie in Medford on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Barbara Marx Hubbard. Her book is Conscious Evolution.
Yes, good morning, Jeffrey. Good morning, Barbara.
Good morning.
Barbara, I have a question. It may not be apropos to your book, but what do you think the role of science fiction, also known as speculative fiction, what role could that possibly play in the evolution of, per se, a group mind in sort of an inspirational way, like sort of like a Mary Baker Eddy with Christian Science and things of that nature? And do you think that the writers and the intelligences that could write things down and make movies and such out of them, do you think they could play a role in the evolution of this group?
I do. In fact, they already have. I was a good friend of Gene Roddenberry's and Ray Bradbury. And some people have said they thought the science fiction writers were the better theologians than some of the theologians. I find science fiction writing extremely important because it does bring you ahead and give you vision of what's possible. Yes, I would agree with that. And I would like to see the science fiction writers actually imagining what it will be like if we're born into a universe as a co-creative species in a universe filled with life. And let's see it going in a direction of more conscious life. That's what I would like to see in the science fiction field.
When you look at things like the Star Trek, us imagining in 1966 what the world would look like 300, 400 years down the road, I mean, that is something to strive for then? You think that's a good aspirational kind of look at the world potentially?
Well, I don't think that any science fiction writer yet has really foreseen the possibility of a living universe filled with intelligent life. I think that has been more in the scientific writers, people like Irvin Laszlo, people like Dwayne Elgin, who wrote a beautiful book called The Living Universe. I think that the imaginative, scientifically oriented mind is really the best right now.
Let's take a call here. Let's go to Rebecca in Junction City. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Barbara Marx Hubbard, the author of Conscious Evolution.
Hi. I just was wondering, I can presume that the five children are a blended family, adopted children, or that they're from a time before that the awareness of the huge population problem existed.
I was married in 1951. I'm 85 years old. I was married in 1951, and we're the last generation that we were told, get married and have as many babies as possible and take care of your husband. All the educated women that did that, and that's when Betty Friedan, in the end of the 50s, wrote The Feminine Mystique, and she interviewed women, mainly a lot of depression, because we lost a sense of identity, even though we were highly educated. Then in the 60s, and this is very interesting, in the 1960s, we began to be aware of a population problem. Up till then, we didn't have any knowledge of it in our culture. And what happened was the feminist movement and the feminine power movement women wanted to be equal to men, and we won that equality. But now there's a new woman, an evolutionary woman, who wants to evolve society and join with men to make a better world.
Barbara Marks Hubbard, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, her book, Conscious Evolution. We'll come back and talk more with her. Here's a reminder, we are in the first day of Spring Fund Drive 2015, looking for pledges of support, 888-552-6191, 888-552-6191, or pledge online at ijpr.org. Final segment on today's Jefferson Exchange on the News and Information Service of Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. Our guest today is Barbara Marks Hubbard, the futurist, social innovator, mother, grandmother, author of 8 books, including Conscious Evolution, first published in 1998 and revised this year. Conscious Evolution is the center of our discussion here today on the Exchange, and you can take part. Join us at 800-838-3760. Anywhere in the listening area, 800-838-3760. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. So, Barbara, what you talk in the book about a spirit-motivated plan of action. What is that?
Well, you know how John F. Kennedy said, let's put a man on the moon and bring him back alive within this decade. I think what we need to say is that within this decade, we are going to research, identify, connect, communicate what's working in the world toward a positive future for humanity. And that takes a major activity of many different communities in every field and function, and we need to be mobilized to discover and communicate a direction that is desirable for humanity. Because if we don't have a vision, you know, where there is no vision, the people perish. So I'm proposing a spirit-motivated process of action, calling together leaders in every field and every function to identify and put their sense of steps to be taken to actualize what we can already do. It's almost like we're a sick child, and we need to have somebody come in and say, you have the potentiality of wellness, and here's what you need to do. And because it's all here. It's not idealistic. In fact, it's realistic to say that nature tends toward higher consciousness, greater freedom, and more complex order. And I think that we have to make, that's why it has to be causal now. We can't just sit back and say that evolution will take care of itself. What it will do is it will destroy us if we do that.
Are there practical, functional steps that need to occur, though, before we can shoot for the moon in an almost literal sense? I mean, we have to take care of poverty and things like that, don't we?
Well, I think that we have to take, the way we're going to be taking care of poverty and environment and health is by identifying how to involve people more creatively in, like, for example, the whole movement towards conscious capitalism and entrepreneurship is a very powerful movement, because if you're not going to get a job, you're going to have to become creative like the pioneers were. And I'm calling this a whole activation of pioneering spirit once again in humanity. Almost all of our relatives came over here, can you imagine, from the old world. Not everybody came. The ones that came had a willingness to take risks, and then they went across this country in covered wagons and with no protection at all. Great courage. We need courage once again to do this, and I believe that there are solutions to every problem. I ran for vice president in 1984, and my name was placed in nomination on the Democratic ticket. At the Democratic National Convention, I made a speech. You can see it on YouTube. And I proposed a new function in the office of the vice president to scan for, map, connect, and communicate what's working in the world. And that the purpose of American democracy was to actually liberate creativity. And this is a very great speech, and I'm hoping that Hillary Clinton will see to it that it's made.
All right, let's take another call. We have Wolfgang in Sunny Valley on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Barbara Marks Hubbard.
Good morning, Barbara. Barbara. Good morning, Jeff.
Hi.
Good morning.
You just said a whole bunch of things that actually I hadn't heard by the time I made my call, but there's so much apropos. Because in my experience, I mean, that's where my question comes from, obviously. My question is this. To what extent does the corporate model gobble up the very creativity that you want to foster, the entrepreneurship? To what extent is that today a theory rather than it would be nice, obviously, right? I have an idea, and it's wonderful, and I go and realize it, and blah, 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 except it's not happening. Who can, like, if you were not Barbara Marx Hubbard, but you were, like, Jane Doe, you wouldn't be on this show, right? Nobody would be listening to you. You have an organization, you have a structure, you have a corporate structure.
Right, right. Didn't have it to begin with. I started all of this. I'm sure that you're aware that within the corporate world, there's a whole movement now towards conscious capitalism. And I happen to have gone to a big event called Success 3.0. It was a summit to change the source code of success in business. Now, these were large-scale businessmen like John Mackey and Tony Hsieh, billionaires, some of them. What were they saying? The purpose of their success was to do good. And they were telling the good that they were doing, and then they were trying to encourage their employees also to be creative. So that's a movement within capitalism, and also a tremendous emphasis on small-scale entrepreneurship and large business people supporting small-scale entrepreneurs. So what you have to do, that's why I say we need this spirit-motivated process of action, because these things are not well known. They're not well known yet, and we need to have a movement to bring them out, to communicate them, and to see how they connect with each other, because innovations have a tendency to mutually reinforce each other. That's how you get the quantum jump.
Let's take another call. Here's Don and Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Barbara Marx Hubbard, the author of Conscious Evolution.
Barbara, hello.
Hi.
Wonderful discussion. You remind me of a fellow I had lunch with named Buckminster Fuller.
Oh, yes. He was one of my great teachers.
Yeah, if you could get a word in edgewise, he's just great to talk to. And
yes.
I mean, he saw all of this in the same light, I think. He was very optimistic about our ability to evolve and to solve and adapt. And, I mean, how many people have molecules named after him when he just visualized them in his mind? I mean, he didn't have any equipment except for that mind of his. And
I know. Well, he got, you know, Spaceship Earth came without an operating manual, he said. But he also said, we now have the technology, resources, and know-how to make the world work for everyone. All right, so I was his student. And he, when I ran for vice president of the United States, one of the reasons I did it is because he asked me to do it. And he had developed something called the critical path. If we have the capacity to do it, what's the path of actualizing those capabilities? And unfortunately, he died just before I was running, so I didn't get all of this. Now, I'm working on a project with people who are studying all these things that I'm saying, and we're going to write a book and do a movie that's going to tell this whole story. And that's my project now, is to make this aware as soon as possible through media.
So for the folks who are impressed enough to think, well, okay, this is something I think I can get into, what are the steps they take? I mean, it's a very, there's a lot of lofty sort of theory here, but what are you know, concrete steps that people could take to help in the process, to help push the world
toward
conscious evolution?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Well, the first step, just on the very personal level, is to turn within yourself and find out what is it that most attracts you to create. Now, some people are already doing it, like yourself. I'm sure that you're attracted to being a reporter and a communicator. But if you are a housewife, if you are a student, you want to find out where is the impulse inside you moving you toward, and then you need to say, yes, I'm going to go in that direction. That's what I did. When I was a mother of five, during the 1950s, I got depressed after my fourth child, and I really loved my children. They were the joy of my life, but I wasn't expressing what I was capable of doing. Once I found that out, and I read Abraham Maslow, and Maslow said, you have to be bold. Do what attracts you. So what I did was I called up Abraham Maslow myself. I took a step. And then he said, Barbara, you represent life. And he gave me a list of all the good souls he knew. And I wrote to everybody. So here's, I'm just giving an example of myself. People have to be imaginative, say, this is what I'm attracted to, reach out and see if they can find others who are attracted to it, and start to take steps in the direction of being creativity and expressing your love and your passion to create. That's what we need.
All right. Final question here from Grumpy John in Grants Pass. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Barbara Marks Hubbard.
Thank you. Hey, Jeffrey, you asked for a couple of paths forward. I have two suggestions. When I'm dictator of the world, values will be based on whether water is made cleaner by that activity or polluted. Simple as that.
All right.
Number two, economically. No matter how you made your money, no matter how nefarious, how evil, when you reach a point when you have more money than you could physically spend in the rest of your life, at that point you have to change your financial outlook and only do things that will bring health to the planet, prosperity to all the people, and an ecosystem that is working.
All right. Clean water and redistribution of wealth. Grumpy John, thanks for those. Barbara, your thoughts?
I think these are very, very good suggestions. Very good suggestions, yes. I think that the more you have, the more you need to give to do exactly what you're saying. Yes.
All right. It's been a pleasure talking to you. The book is called Conscious Evolution, Awakening the Power of Our Social Potential, first written in 1998, updated for this year by Barbara Marks Hubbard, the futurist. Thank you so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.